Now, let me then greet all the honorable members who are here with us. I shall get to see their names as we move. Greet our officials, and the department is here, I'm sure. Without really wasting time, we are still on public hearings concerning the National Traffic Amendment Bill. And we are going to take a submission by the South African Driving School Operators Association. And they will be represented in this case by Dr. Geoff Nkosi, who is actually their president. Dr. Nkosi, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Chair.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you, sir. And how are you?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you for making time to come and talk to us, representing your association, of course. We want to warmly and heartily welcome you to this August House, representing the Portfolio on Transport Committee. We are going to allow you a space to talk to us, and let's not waste that time because we are eager to hear what you have in store for us. Otherwise, over to you. You can forge ahead, Doctor.
Chair, thank you very much for granting me this opportunity to talk to the House. I am delighted. I'm actually representing, like you have mentioned, SATSUA, which stands for South African Driving School Operators Association. Chair, after realizing that there were so many problems in the industry, as owners of the driving schools decided to mobilize ourselves into this big organization, and we started hunting around for people that could join us in the effort of making good in the industry, they say. And we were lucky to have mobilized guys in all the 9 provinces. As I talk to you now, most of them are listening to this talk that we have this afternoon. I wanted just to register that at this meeting. Secondly, I want also to express our gratitude, Chair, and members who are attending this meeting. We would like to extend our thanks to you for having allowed us to come and talk to you, because we have long been longing for this kind of an adventure. I consider it to be an adventure to us, because we've been pleading and pleading with the department and asking whoever we could meet to assist us in getting us into this point. We have looked at the proposed bill, which fortunately our organization was part, and we were represented by 2 members. It was our deputy president, as well as our chairperson. But after having looked thoroughly and closely at the document, we felt there are issues which we would like to bring to the attention of the members and request that they be revisited. Some of them could be removed, or others could be added, so that as we have all the experience in the running of the industry, could assist to improve our condition as an industry, as well as the Department of Transport. Not only that, but even the community and the society and the public that we are working for. We believe that would help us a great deal. We have a few points that you want to raise. I'm not going to read as the document does externalize, but I'm just going to highlight some of the things that we are proposing that they be revisited, and if time could allow, they be removed or added. Point number one covers clause 14 of the bill for DLTC's testing centers registration. That is page 12. Now, if you look at that clause, you will realize that it has to do with the registration of the testing centers. And that privilege is only awarded to the Department of Transport provincially and our municipalities. Now we are finding ourselves uncomfortable as far as that one is concerned because of the congestion that we find in most of the time in these centers. And we are therefore, Chair, recommending if it could be, attended to, that this opportunity is opened to the private sector. We allow the private sector to open testing centers so that that could spread quite a number of testing centers rather than it is now. Look at if, for instance, I could take Newcastle, where I'm stationed. There's only one testing center for a big town like Newcastle. And you find that there is quite a number of big schools around Newcastle, which are supposed to be having pupils that with at a later stage need to be trained and be tested. Now you find that they all would get to one small little testing center, which has got so many problems, and they therefore do not get the service which they deserve. So we are suggesting, Chair, once more to highlight that we open an opportunity for the private sector to open more testing centers. That is our first point. Our second point, Chair, focuses on amendment of Section 13 of Act 93 of 1996. In this section, mention is made of the inclusion of a provisional driving license, and there's also a learner's license before someone can actually become a properly trained driver. Now, at this point in time, Chair and members, we feel that would create a burden on our public, because most of the time when people come for licenses, they are doing so most of the time, I'm saying, because they're either looking for a job or they have been invited for an interview, and among other things that need to be put forth as the requirement is a license. So if we would add three stages, the learner's license, the provisional learner's license, then the license, that really would create a burden. So we are appealing to whoever is going to give final look at this proposed bill, that we delete provisional driving license. We retain learner's license. Then from learner's license, you go for the driver's license. That is our second point under the amendment of Section 13 of Act 93 of 1996. Over and above that, Chair, we would like also to apply that attention is given to the training of our drivers, looking at the safety of the public. We would like to propose that instead of adding the second gadget on the training. We actually look at training people at code 8 level, and we give them intensive training so that when people are to be given an opportunity to drive, then they know exactly the skill, how to go about training. We are against a situation where someone is trained using code 10, but at the end of the day, he doesn't even drive that code 10. Instead, he uses his license to drive a code 8. We have realized that it causes a lot of problems, and safety is being a challenge. So we would also would like to request the powers that be if they could also look into that. And then the third point is on amendment of Section 17 of Act 93 of 1996. In this part, Chair, we are appealing that driving schools as training centers should be allowed where and when there is need to do submission of applications on behalf of learners for convenience, as long as proper documentation shall be in good control. We are saying this because we've seen what is happening, particularly during this COVID period. Havoc has occurred in the testing station. People are sleeping in the testing station from 8 o'clock in the evening until the next day because of congestion. So we have since realized that it's not easy for people to book. It is worse when you look at online booking. It has made, that one has made things worse. And I don't even want to add it on this on this bill because it's never made mention of. So what we're asking is that we as an industry, as a center who are training these drivers, should be allowed to book for them, although they always would complain and say it's a bulk booking, which they abhor. But we feel really, I mean, safe if we were to be allowed to do that. And number four, we're looking at amendment of Section 18 of Act 93 by Section 12 of Act 21 of 1999. This is a worst portion in the Act for us as an industry, Chair. It speaks well, but once it gets somewhere where it says, provided that in a case when the driving license testing center can provide an appropriate motor vehicle, such motor vehicle may be used for tests. That is abominable to us, and really it will drop our business terribly. It will kill our business. So as an industry, an old industry, an industry that is consists of a big number of schools representing it countrywide, we are appealing and we are applying that this portion, I repeat, should be removed. Because once it is brought in and it is implemented, it is going to cause a lot of disharmony between ourselves and the department with which we have been working so well in the past, Chairperson. We would rather recommend, Chair, that instead of the department providing or the testing centers providing vehicles for tests, we would rather look at and consider appealing to government that if all we also, because the kind of job that we are doing really is the job that augurs well with the services that should be provided for by government. So we are appealing that we also, because we are battling with our vehicles, we should be assisted or boosted, there is a system which is called capitalization. If this also could be introduced, that's what we are, and be enacted, that we as an industry are going to be assisted by one way, by a way or another, and or rather through the capitalization method, then that one would really make us feel good. And then when you get to point number five, point number five is in on page 18 of the bill, under clause 31, which talks about registration and grading of instructors. We are delighted, Chair. We want to put on record here that it is covered in the bill, but we would like to add that before an instructor is registered, before he is, or she is graded, there should be a thorough training, the training that would be equivalent to the training that is received by an examiner. Then we would know that the people that would be issued with not with permits, but with certificates, those are the people that are going to improve our situation as a driving industry. Rather than just registering and grading and not training, to us that is not sufficient. We are appealing that training is added onto the two, so that we can say you start by training, then after training you register, and after registering then you grade. Then you have good drivers that will produce safe orientated drivers for our country. Also, under the same clause, we also want to bring forth that we have in our midst people that have been working for the industry who unfortunately were underprivileged in the past, and they are not that learned. They cannot therefore cope with some of the requirements who really are met by people that are better qualified. And those people have been with us, they've been assisting us, and we are appealing that they be RPL, in other words, they be given an opportunity also to qualify, but we use methods and systems that would make easy for them to be qualified. For sure, those people will be assisted and job opportunities will be created. I'm fast moving towards the end of my presentation, Chair. I'm on number six now, page 19, clause 34. That clause there, Chairperson, we wanted to request that it ends with 29. It ends with I. We would like to add 29H, they say. And under 29H, we add the four following points. One, we allow driving school associations to be acknowledged and be recognized by the department. Associations, not an association. Two, we request that a fully fledged office is to administer the driving school affairs in all the Department of Transport provincially should be put in place, so that it'll be easy for the driving schools to sort out their problems. If there are any problems, you know there's an office nationally, there are offices provincially, and there are offices local. That will completely assist us as an industry. And three, we also recommend that because there are so many mushrooming driving schools around, we recommend that it be enacted that the local driving school association and the municipality shall be mandated to recommend all new operations. I believe if this could be done jointly by the industry, the stakeholder, and the local municipality, then it is not going to be easy to get fly-by-nights coming around and robbing people. And I believe if the private sector would also be have been included as testing centers, they also could participate under that kind of an arrangement. That is number four. Now, when you come to the seventh point, that is page 20, clause 38. Our view here is that, Chairperson, we are not being critical here, but we are being fair because we are mindful of the safety of our people. There is an issuing of professional driving permits. And the criteria that is used to issue professional driving permits, if you look at professional driving permit, it really spells out that a person that is to be issued with that permit should be a person that is qualified. But interestingly enough, what happens? That person is never trained. So we recommend that before a person desiring to get a driver's certificate, not permit, should be trained before he actually gets there, theoretically and practically. And in so doing, we shall be inculcating a sense of people that will be observing the importance and the significance of the industry, of the transport per se. That is why we are saying now, for professional driving permits, we convert permits to certificates, and we replace that by a professional certificate. And then before a person is issued with that certificate, he should be trained thoroughly, theoretically and practically. Then, number eight, on page 24, under clause 49, signage is addressed. Signage issue is addressed. And we are happy that people with disabilities are considered, and a signage has been put in place for them. Now, we are becoming jealous, Chair, that as an industry, we also are holding or occupying an important position. We are requesting that in this act that will be coming along, we also are considered as an industry that we have a signage for the driving school industry. So much so that in the chart, in the national road traffic chart, we also are included under those signs that are contained in the national road traffic sign chart. That to us would be quite an excitement. Then number nine, which is almost the last one, we want to focus on page 36, clause six. Clause six. Clause six is divided into 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, and there are three clauses there on page 36. We want to applaud that, sir, because if we check there, we can see that whoever coined this bill, proposed bill, is mindful of the fact that we are so anxious to get our industry regulated, which thing we've been hammering for so long. So we want to support those three sub-clauses under clause six and say we really give a good support to those. Finally, number 10, say I've already touched on this one, the online booking. We want to emphasize here, we are not people that want to cause trouble for our department and for our government. We are not going to say anything about people that take it to the road. But we believe negotiations are the best weapons to win whatever battle you want to win. So we want to appeal to the department that meanwhile, a situation is like this, we suspend the online booking, but it, because it is really causing a lot of havoc to the industry, not only to the industry, but also to the people that is supposed to be working for. And the last point, which is the 11th, there is an issue which has given us sleepless nights, where a learner, when he's to apply for learners, he is to produce proof of residence. Now, we have discovered, Chair, that this proof of residence is not really worth the paper on which it is written. So we are appealing, because you can't say it should be scrapped, but we are appealing that it be revisited. And if it could be suspended, sir, we would be very happy if that kind of a situation could be considered. Sir, I've said a mouthful on behalf of our organization. What I will do, or what I will do as an organization, will sit down and fine-tune our document, and we are going to forward it to your department, sir, for final processes. Thank you very much, sir, for having to listen to me for so long.
Thank you very much, Dr. For the in-depth, detailed presentation from your association. We were listening attentively, so that as we move forward with this process, we will also be able to take views from you. Let's hear members, honorable members. I can see we have two members here. Already be cautioned, members, that we only have 15 minutes to engage. So let's not be long in terms of our engagement. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 members who wants to speak. Let me start first by Honorable Hunsinger. 7 members who wants to speak. Yes, Honorable Member Hunsinger. Good evening, sir. You can forge ahead.
Good evening, Chairperson, and good evening, Dr. Jeff Ngosi. Thank you for your submission and for taking time to work through this proposed piece of legislation. Most importantly, thank you for your sentiments which you expressed with regards to the regulation of driving schools, and also thank you for your great initiative in amalgamating the different driving schools all over the country in the different provinces. Sir, you made mention of the inclusion, apart from municipal and provincial driving schools, that the private sector should also engage on a far bigger scale. I would like to hear your ideas on how this arrangement would work in practical terms. You made mention of the Code 10 licensing, and that there's a particular misuse of that. Could you spell out the exact misuse to us, so that we have a better insight? I would like to hear your opinion about K53 and the alignment of K53 in terms of the needs and what you experience around the skills that is attained through the training curve, and then the actual implementation, or when the license is issued. You speak of recognition that require from the Department of Transport. Are you referring to having a desk that would liaise with your association? And how should one then accommodate different associations, given that there might be more formations of similar associations in the future? I would also like to know your opinion on the advanced driving skill requirement for participants in public transport. And then lastly, you might mention of problems around online booking. Can you please give us a bit more detail on what exactly the issues are around online booking, so that we have a better understanding of how we should address that? Thank you, Chairperson. And again, thank you, Dr. Kosi.
Honorable member, thank you for your participation. Thank you very much. Mhlonishwa ubaba uMabhena uThami ke lawo buya le eMpumalanga kwamhlanga. Asizwe mfowethu.
Angithokoze khulu sihlalo, ngithokoze ukuthi bengilithola namhlanje nambama, ngilotshisa ubaba uNkosi. No sorry, uDr. Nkosi and the team akhamba nayo. Chairperson, we don't have enough time. Firstly, in terms of the RPL, obviously the recognition of prior learning. If you say that some of the members might be having challenges in terms of the new grading system, and that your organization is proposing that the recognition of prior learning be recognized for these members, what type of prior learning are we talking about? Because are these people who don't have any exposure whatsoever to the academic system, to the education system, or are these people maybe who have some sort of exposure to the education system, whether it be at primary level, secondary level, and any other or any other learning? But I understand that you want the system to lean more in terms of the experience that they have within the system, instead of actually recognizing the grading and the qualification that they would get. Running through the second theme, look, I truly agree with your assertion that the department must not issue a blanket approach in terms of the grading. I think train first, make sure that people are qualified, and then once that you have assured yourself that people have gone through the necessary curriculum that will be there at that time, and that those people have actually completed those upskilling programs, then you can grade late. I think if we approach it from that standpoint, fully agree with you, Dr. Nkosi, we might be achieving something more. And we might be, the output of the drivers might actually be better drivers, and the behavior on the road might change. The third point, Chairperson, is the POP. I think there was a presentation which was done, I think yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, where there was a proposal that people should be confined to apply for licenses within their local authorities. But the legislation in its current form, I can go anywhere in the country and apply for a learner's license, and they will still want a proof of is it POP? Okay, POP is proof of payment or proof of address. Maybe Dr. Ngozi can clarify there. I think on my side, I wrote POP, but I think my understanding was a proof of address. So I think if you can assist me there. Then moving on, I think Honorable Chris Hansen has touched on the online booking system. I'm not going to touch on it. Last one. You are saying that you want the department to almost create a directory that will be dealing directly with driving schools. And obviously, or that will be dealing with your sector as it may. That would have people that would be in a position to liaise directly with yourselves in the sector. And how do you envision that happening? Do you envision that happening only at the national level, or must this be also be coordinated to be at a provincial level, and also, if possible, be filtered down to local level at the standpoint? And what do you see that directorate actually achieving in terms of quality? Thank you, Chairperson. I see that you are about to tell.
Thank you very much. Mhlonishwa siyabonga. Masikhambe akhbarelie de McDonald. Laat ons voortgaan.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Good afternoon to all the honorable members. Thank you, Dr. Nkosi, for your submissions. It's well received. I do 100% support you in the training of people should have training when issued with a PDP. I think the carnage on the road due to unlicensed PDP drivers and foreign drivers with PDPs that don't go through the same training and vigorous vetting as South African citizens is a travesty to justice. But I agree with you that we should that should be somewhere stipulated. And then regarding all the other things have been covered by most of the speakers, and I'm 100% in agreement with you, Dr. Nkosi. The online booking system is atrocious at the moment, and we need to address those things. And thank you very much for your submission. And Jefferson, thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Gordon, bondag, dankie, akbare liede. Boramatwa ndi madekwa.
Ndi madekwa na vhuḓi mudzula tshidulo. Ndivhuwa. Mudzula tshidulo ndi ndi meise vhathu vhoṱhe vhane vha vha hafha muṱanganoni. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. Firstly, let me join my host with the presentation by Dr. Nkosi. And Dr. Nkosi, in your presentation, you indicated that there is congestion at the provincial level and the local level. So you want the sector to be in debt. Is there no other things or methods that the government use or can use that if no question except include private sector?
Chair, I seem to be having a problem with the
Chair.
Okay, Boramatwa, can you switch your video so that we try a better network?
It must be on.
Your video must be off.
The video is off, Chairperson.
Okay, try it again. You were asking that question, it was not clear.
Okay. Am I audible now?
You are better. Not exactly, but you are better.
Chairperson, I was saying, Dr. Nkosi indicated that there is congestion at the provincial and the local level. So that's why they want the private sector to be included. So I was saying, are there no other methods that they can use to make sure that there is congestion except in the private sector? And then lastly, Chairperson, most of the things have been raised that I wanted to raise. Lastly, I want to check with Dr. Nkosi, how many committee members are they having in the association, and how many women are part of that committee, that association? Thank you, Chairperson.
Masibonge umhlonishwa umhlekazi ubaba uLisa wakwaManqu.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good evening, honorable members. Thank you for the presentation, sir. On your submission on section 18, you are opposed to the usage of vehicles owned by a testing center. Would you accept if government were to legislate what your vehicle should be like or what it should include to have a standard of the types of vehicles that are used and dictate what should be there? That is the first question. The second question is, you, my colleague Honorable Mabenas mentioned it, you'd want a directorate to be included in structures of government. Would you agree with me that maybe because you are actually in the business of developing skills, that is what you are doing, that maybe you should rather be regulated under a CETA, which is the Sectoral Education and Training Authority, that could be relevant to your area rather than a Department of Transport? Because a Department of Transport is not in the business of developing skills, but rather a sitter. Is it something that your association would consider, that all these things that regulate your space are rather under a sitter rather than under a department, but the department becomes responsible only for legislation? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Asibonge Jambase, simthole umama ufikile kwaMtunga. Asikuzweke nawe Mtunga.
Bonke labantu.
Fikile Honorable Khumalo. Okay, let's get Honorable Sithole. We'll come back and finish with the Honorable Fikile. Mondise.
Mangete.
Yena baba, ngena.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to Dr. Nkosi for his presentation. I have some of my questions have been recovered, but there's something that I'm trying to check from them, because they are talking about that the driving school need to be recognized. But I'm trying to check their intake on the mushrooming of driving schools, because we have a lot of driving schools that are mushroomings, which are not being controllable. But what I'm trying to check, do they have a program to monitor and evaluate all the driving schools that are under them? And then the other chairperson is that one. When you talk about the education, but I'm worried because they're supposed to actually to their presentation to tell us what do they have for the education of their driving, for their drivers, especially taxi drivers, because they are driving as they wish on our road. What intake from him? And the last one, Chairperson, is that one of the, I think they touched on that one, the suspended of the online booking. If he can give us his view on that one. Thank you very much, Chair.
Asibonge Mondisi. Mtunga, are you with us? Honorable Fikile Khumalo? Well, let's forge ahead. Honorable members, let me go back. Dr. Nkosi,
yes,
I weakly say,
yes, Chair.
I do not wish to try and window dress questions that have been asked to you by members. You can see we are left with 1 minute. May I rather request you to make an additional submission in the form of responses, so that at least we have you covered in terms of your views going forward. I think that will stand you in good stead, Dr. Nkosi. I am going to request you to do that, and I'm sure you are capable of doing it. Are we together, Dr. Nkosi?
Yes, sir, I'm with you. I'm quite positive towards your proposal, sir. And it occurs well with what I said. When I said we are still going to sit down and fine tune our presentation document, that will now assist us to even extend our comments when we resubmit. So I accept that we're going to sit down. I've jotted down most of the questions, some of which were quite exciting, but what excited me most, Chair, which I want recorded, is that most of the members were in support of what we're putting forward. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Dokotela. Babulise matateni lapho.
Ah, baba, okay.
Nasekhaya, siyabonga.
Bye,
thank you very much, Doctor. Let's forge ahead. and get a submission by National Organization of Thriving Schools.
Yeah.
By Mr. Rafiq.
Good evening. It's Mr. Rafiq Jardine from NATSA. Good evening, Mr.
Yes.
Okay. I'm well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for inviting me, and good evening to the members of the committee and the stakeholders. I can just give you a little bit of a brief presentation of myself. My name is Rafiq Jardine. I'm based in Johannesburg in the Gauteng area. I'm the chairperson and the founder of the National Organization of Driving Schools. We established ourselves in the 16th of April in 2019. So we basically a newly formed organization. I just want to give you a bit of our aims and our objectives. It's based on four principles.
You must just know that five past, I will come back to you and request you to end your presentation.
Dr. Jeff Nkosi, my submissions was based on one principle, and that was the code 8, driver's license. We know it as a code B, driver's license. And for the fact of that, it should become mandatory rather than including the code C, or it's the class of motor vehicle C, which basically consists of your C1, your C1, your EC and EC1. So we'd rather prefer to have the submission. We would rather prefer to have the class of motor vehicle for B to become mandatory, which Dr. Jeff Nkosi actually covered. So basically, that is what we're actually looking at, and what we also most concerned about is road safety, and the act in which the act is implemented, and the educational part for driving schools, and to allow for us to have like an institute for education, so that we can enhance our driving skills. Because as you know, for fact, our industry is not regulated to the point where we have any institution that we can actually attend and get any certification with regards to how we operate as a driving instructors. So basically Dr. Jeff Nkosi has covered most of it. So it's my submission is basically, it's just one. It's for the implementation of code 8, rather than just putting the two together and applying for code 10 driver's license. And the use of that basically becomes null and void, because what happens is the standards of teaching there is different. So we prefer just to have the code 8 to be mandatory first, get your code 8, and then use the code 10 as an upgrade. And then basically we're just looking at the educational processes. That's it, sir. Chairperson?
Yeah, I think the chairperson is just gripping a glass of water. If maybe we can just be patient.
Okay.
Hopefully he's back very soon.
he's back now. Thank you very much, sir. So you're done.
Yeah, no, it's very straightforward. Like I said, Dr. Jeff Nkosi has covered everything. All we basically is what we, our organization, is implementing, would like the Portfolio Committee of Transport is to implement into law the levels of or the classifications of driver's license, like your light motor vehicle, must be mandatory rather than the code, the class of C class, which is your heavy motor vehicle, and then the education of which we need as driving schools as a college or something to that, where we have an institution whereby we can go learn, because there is no institution at this point in time where we as driving instructors can actually go to actually get ourselves certified, because the regulation 250 is just an instructor certificate rather than a certificate where we have been, where we were taught the act, the rules of the road, the K53 in its proper format. So that is the most important thing, is education. And the reason for this is the lack of the education is bringing in unnecessary people. It's like an 18-year-old gets his license yesterday, tomorrow he starts a driving school, because there is no educational process that we can really follow to upgrade ourselves to, like the one gentleman spoke about CETA, and I fully agree that it is an educational process rather than a driving license thing to per se, as to say that. So our suggestion is just about education, and education is very, very important to benefit, because for example, just again, if I can give an example, how do we apply a stopping procedure when you're turning left, when you're turning right? How far should you be away from the line? How do you read the sign on the left-hand side? How do you read the street signs? When do you do your observations and all those things? So everybody just comes together and they put it together. They, you know what, start a driving school. No problem. There is money to be made in there. So it's no more an educational process. It's more bureaucracy rather than education. And this is where this is the problem that we are facing with regards to where we at today with the amount of road fatalities that we are seeing on the roads. The other day I was driving up the road and the guy went to go stop in the middle of the road, skip the robot, stopped in the middle of the road, wait for the robot to open up again. So blocking three lanes, it doesn't make sense. So it's all about education. And this is what the National Organization of Driving School is pushing for. It's to enhance the level of education within the driving school industry. Because the other things is basically the law is there, the act is there, and we just have to apply the act. And if you ask any of the driving schools to apply the act, they don't even know how to do the test report. And a test report is very vital to the program that you set for your applicants, you see. So, and what the result is, they're not getting the proper education from the instructors. And what has happened is that the examiners then has manipulated this fact that driving instructors are not educated. Now, regulation 250, I'll tell you how it's done. You apply to the Department of Transport. Yeah, okay, in Gauteng, we apply here in Gauteng, right, at the Gauteng Department of Roads and Transport. They then send it off to community safety. Community safety says, okay, look, listen, we give you a date. It goes back there. I get a date. I go do the test like I'm doing the K53. He doesn't ask me a question with regards to what is that sign? How do you apply that sign? When do you have to turn left? When do you have to turn right? So it's all about the education. So then they issue a written piece of paper with your photo on, and they say, there is your instructor certificate. It doesn't make sense to me, because it's not a real certificate. It's just a piece of paper that was written. Anybody can just steal that book and then write it down. So it has to fall onto the eNATA system, where it has to be regulated on the eNATA system, where we do the test, but we go for at least a 3 to 6 month course, right? In order for us to gain that knowledge of teaching, and that is where the problem lies. That is this, the chairperson, that is where the problem lies. It's all to do with education and it's been taken advantage of. And therefore we find that we have a huge amount of corruption. And I can tell you it's about nationally, we're looking at about 90% of corruption between the examiners and the driving schools. So it's all about bureaucracy rather than education. I thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you very much. I think we have captured it very well. Your plea is all about education.
It's 19 hours.
Let's hear members. Ubaba Mhlonishwa Mabhena.
Angithokozi khulu Chairperson. And welcome, Mr. Jardine from NOTSA. I know him
Thank
very
you,
well.
Sir. Thank you very much.
He's a very hardworking organizer within this sector, very passionate about the sector. I think I was once invited for an oversight with him and his organization in Johannesburg. And yeah, I think I learned a lot that I think it was back in 2019. Okay, just diving straight into the issue. So you want the department to deal with the reclassification of vehicles in order for someone to be mandatory for them to do code 8 and not dive straight into code 10, if I'm not mistaken. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct, sir. The reason for that is when you look at, if we're going to...
Okay. Let me request nicely that let us not have a discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, let's get all the questions. Time permitting, you'll then be given an opportunity to answer, sir. I'm sorry about that.
No, thank you so much, Chair. I'm sorry, this is the first time on this type of platform, so okay. I respect what the Chair is saying.
Yeah, relax.
Thank you very much.
I think I was asking the Chair through you so that you can respond.
Okay, no, I understand. Thank you. You can forge ahead, Johnny.
Thank you so much. But now my question is, the motivation which you've cited, I honestly don't believe it's sufficient enough. For instance, if someone can do a code 10 instead of going through the protracted process of a code 8, why can't that person be given an opportunity and freedom of choice to do that? Why can't we incorporate the curriculum within, or the testing matrix within code 8 on the code 10 driver's license? Because I mean, if I want to drive heavy vehicles, why must I go and start with light motor vehicles? Doesn't make any sense. But perhaps you can respond later. Last question, Chairperson. In terms of the college curriculum, it's my first time hearing that there's no higher learning institution which offers any courses in terms of the driving schools. If I remember very well, the Department of Transport had just recently concluded the memorandum of understanding, but for the civil aviation sector with VETS, Fort Hare, and most recently Nelson Mandela Bay. Understanding that this perhaps could be a question which should be vested within the higher education and training department. Perhaps it could be a situation where this Department of Transport liaising with that department, maybe they can come up with something. Because, I mean, for instance, even police, you can do a policing diploma at higher learning institutions, but when you get to SAPS, you still have to go through the mandatory Academy of SAPS, I think for 3 years or so, before you can be integrated into the force. So perhaps, Chairperson, maybe for us, maybe to try and with the Department of Higher Education and Training and see if maybe this can be done. Because, I mean, the department already has a relationship in terms of MOUs with VETS, FORTE, NMP, but for the civil aviation thing. Thank you so much, Chair.
Masthokoza was Mhlonishwa. I see some few hands here. I don't know what's happening. they are certainly not hands from honorable members. Let me just quickly check. Mohammed Latif, your hand is up. Why is the hand up? Who's Mohammed?
Yes, Chairperson, I'd just like to make a comment, if I could be allowed through you.
No, you are not allowed, sir. Where are you from?
I'm based in Newcastle. I'm a member of the Katsua Driving School Association.
Okay, let me just quickly deal with this matter. In our program, we only allow those who are on the program to be the ones that are presenting, and people who are going to have comments and questions are honorable members, because they should understand in terms of anything they want to understand. Beyond the honorable members, we may not take any other presentation or comments. As a result, I will request that anyone outside the honorable members should then lower their hands respectfully. So, Mamu Nolchungu.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the presenter. The presenter raises a very important issue of corruption between the examiners and the instructors. As a result, drivers that are not qualified to be on the road, you find them on the road, and hence the amount of road fatalities that we have. They are partly the contributors to the fatalities on the road. I just want to hear your views as an organization that is looking after driving schools. That what would be your views if we were to have a clause that will penalize driving schools that produces drivers that are not supposed to be in the road? If we found that there has been collusion between the examiners and the instructors, or if I rephrase my question, what would be your recommendations to curb corruption in this industry? Thank you.
Mr. Rafiq, thank you, Honorable Member Noluchungu. There are three questions that are posed to you. Because we still have a bit of time for you, let's give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the questions. The lady there, it's Mrs. It's Miss or Miss Ntandu. I appreciate that. Sorry?
Nolutando.
Nolutando. Sorry about that, sir. Okay. There are four. The national organization have four objection aims and objections. One is road safety. The other one is the act and the implementation of the act. The other one is education. And then the driving schools acting with integrity. Right. So that is basically part of our constitution, and that is mandated in our constitution. So what the result of any driving schools that has gone through the phases or the causes that is set through the national organizations of South Africa's constitution, or if they go up against the constitution, right? There will be a disciplinary committee that we do have in place that will see the processes of how the disciplinary action will be taken. From what our constitution says is that any person found guilty with any irregularities or any malpractices will then be kicked out of the organization and be reported to the South African Police Service, right, as a crime
or as an action of crime, right? So what the result is that we have very high standards that we are trying to meet in order to eradicate all the problems that we are facing with fraud and corruption. And we are not a police, we're not in a police organization, which is an organization here to uplift the standards surrounding road safety. Coming to the other question where the gentleman of, I forgot his name. I haven't spoken to him so long.
Honorable Tami Mabena.
Tami, how are you, sir? Sorry about that, Tami. Okay. Now, how I have actually worked this thing out, it works on the basis of inertia, right? Now, inertia is why we need to separate the two, where we have to separate code B and code C, works on the inertia basis, right? Now, this is physics, right? So if you take a small ball, right? If you take a small ball, say the size of your hand, and then you take a soccer ball, right? The weight differences are big and huge. So the one will move faster than the other one, which will be inertia in movement, inertia in direction, and inertia in stopping. So these are all physics. Now, if you understand that the movement of inertia, turning in a different direction, right, depends on the speed, depends on how we stop, how we turn. And it all differs with regards to a code 8 motor vehicle. I'm going to say light motor vehicle and a heavy motor vehicle. So I'm going to use those as two comparisons. The light motor vehicle today travels at a higher speed, and their braking system is much quicker and responsive than this of a truck. So your inertia movement is forward. And then what happens is that your stopping motions are of two different calibers. So when you're doing your turning as well, your turning angle for your light motor vehicle is much sharper than this of a truck because of the length and the weight. And then another thing is basically your acceleration. Your acceleration is much faster with the code 8 than what we have with the code 10. So all these things works around inertia. And what the result is that also another a thing that I must mention to you, Mr. Chair, is the type of exercises that is in play. Yeah. With a code, with a light motor vehicle, we do the 3-point turn, parallel parking left, parallel parking right, and then we do an alley docking from the left-hand side, and then we do an emergency stop. That is not inculcated in the heavy motor vehicle part of the test, right? So how we have to react and how we have to communicate to our pupils, because your sitting position, your selection of your gears, right? And how you have to use your push and pull move, it's all different because your sitting position is low in the car and your sitting position in the truck is much higher. So all these factors plays a big, big, big role as to why we have to make the code 8 mandatory. I can draft up a better process and send it to your office so that you can understand the difference between that, between the code 8 and the code 10. So, and then also what happens is the relationship between the instructors on how they teach a code 8 and how they teach the code 10, that's also a big difference as well. So we're having, this is the reason why we ask and we're forcing that it becomes mandatory, because there is more corruption. Honestly, there's more corruption in code the heavy motor vehicles than there is in the light motor vehicles. And so basically the whole concept is based around inertia.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are you done, sir?
Yes, I'm done. That's and then obviously just the education.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Chair. For you taking your time to come and address the committee.
We will
definitely take your views into consideration as we go forward with this matter. Thank you very much once more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and kindly thank. I really thank you and appreciate what you have done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Let's now forge ahead and get a CEO of South African Number Plate Association, Ms. Zurika Low. Are you here with us, ma'am?
Good evening, Chair and other attendees. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Basically, the comments that I prepared was the comments that we've given on the amendments in the Road Traffic Amendment Bill, which was relating to the definitions of the embosser of number plates and blank manufacturers, as well as the registration process of both. The two groups. At the moment in the industry, I mean, if we look, regulation is really a big problem. If we look at the current crime statistics, we see that in majority of crimes at the moment that's committed, vehicles are being used. And most instances, it's either cloned number plates or stolen number plates. Regulation of the industry is really, really a big concern. I mean, embossers at this stage, you know, you require SABS permit, the same as for blank number plate manufacturers. But there's a big problem with action against illegal operators. If you just see in Gauteng at the moment, where we see plastic number plates, new vehicles, bearing plastic number plates, which is illegal. We see a lot of your 520 size number plates were bearing the 60 millimeter letters, which is also illegal. So industry needs assistance with regulation. And, you know, at this stage between the provinces that we have at the moment, there are almost 400 variations of number plates because there's four different sizes of number plates, and then each province has got different background graphics, as you know, and then there's also these personalized plates, there's government plates, that's also different. So if you take into consideration that your traffic metro police at this stage needs to police almost 400 variations, which is very difficult for them. And obviously a national number plate will go a long way to solve this problem. I know there was recent media releases that National Department of Transport is looking at that. And yes, we would just appreciate feedback on that to see how far that process is. And what can be done to regulate the industry and to protect also the embossers and blankers that do play according to the rules, you know, having the SABS permit, operating according to the law versus illegal operators that nobody is addressing at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you for the presentation. Let's check if there are members who are willing to engage on this presentation. Akbareliede McDonald Lawrence.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I just want just one question or remark. as much as we need more legislation regarding the validity of certain of these number plates or the infringement by a lot of number plate manufacturers currently in South Africa making number plates their own sizes, we also, as much as we need legislation, we need enforcement. So there's no point in bringing new legislation when we don't enforce something that's already there. So, Chairperson, we must, it's just a comment. I just wanted to say that we're 100% in support. There should be, we should all comply to the laws of South Africa, but we need enforcement more than we need more legislation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lawrence McDonald, Honorable Lisa Wagwamanu.
Good evening. Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Madam Lowe. Thank you for the presentation. You mentioned the issue of plastic number plates, cloned number plates, and so forth and so forth. What is your view? Why is it easy now to have people going back to Perspex number plates, whereas it was not? If you could help, maybe how do we close that one? Linked to that, the current number plates sheeting material, if it is legal, I assume that it will have your watermarks, it would have some security features that in some instances are similar to bank notes. What is your view about it? Is it working? Is it not working? And lastly, there is a proposal to introduce micro dots in the number plates themselves. What is your comment about that? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ubaba Ujambase. I must just hasten before I go to Missouri that the department has given us information. I'm sure you have all seen that there is already a process to develop a driving instructor qualification with RTMC and Transport CETA taking a lead. So I thought I should just share that information from the department. Otherwise, let me go back to Mayor Zureka, Lou, Oskan Furkhan, Oskan Uk, Afrikaans Pratas, Evel Sukuma.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. Just to respond on Mr. McDonald with the enforcement of legislation, I agree with him. I think there's a big need for training under the Metro Police, which is also something we're looking at the moment, is to create a little booklet. I'm also part of the South African Road Traffic Safety Management Association, where we compile the booklet of road signs and markings and et cetera, the relevant specifications, legislation, et cetera, just to make it easier for engineers on site. And I think a booklet like that will also be very beneficial for the Metro Police during roadblocks. It's a little handy notebook that they can have on hand to check up some of the issues that might be, they're not well knowledge about it. So that is something we are looking at as well. And I'm currently busy liaising with RTMC in this regard. With regard to the questions from the other feedback, the plastic number plate is very easy to clone because people use Perspex, which you can purchase at any hardware shop. People cut it to the size, the legal size of a number plate. And what they then do is they purchase like a shimmery vinyl, which you can also get all over. And they copy the letters, they cut that out of tape, blue tape or red tape or whatever, which they can also get. And then you compile this, so it's two pieces or just one piece of Perspex cut to the side of a legal number plate, the 520 or 440, etc. And they also cut out the border, whether it's maybe blue or red or green, depending on which province. Therefore, if I take Gauteng as an example, you can print the Gauteng coat of arms on clear plastic. I cut it out and I stick it on. By the time this is all combined, it looks like a legit number plate. Obviously, there's no retro reflection in that vinyl. And from afar, that looks legit, very easy to do. If you've got a printer, any printer at this stage, you can print, like I say, the lettering, you can print the graphics, and people compile number plates. It's very easy. With regards to the sheeting, yes, the correct sheeting, people are using the SABS approved sheeting that contains all the required security markings, watermark, etc. So it's just again a question of whether people want to act, follow the law, or whether they want to do it as cheap as possible. Because the man in the street can't really see the difference between a proper retro reflective sheeting and a vinyl. We see that even with legit embossers that will purchase the correct material, and when the SABS inspector come around, they will have that on board. As soon as the SABS inspector leaves, they will take out the shimmery vinyl again. With your aluminium number plate, the reflective sheeting is already on the aluminium backing. So that makes to do any fraudulent activity with aluminium plate becomes much more difficult, because the border is printed on, the background graphics is already printed on, and obviously if it's from a legit blank manufacturer, it will be the SABS approved retro reflective material on it as well. So that is why industry is really adamant to get away from the plastic number plate, because it's very easily cloned. And like I said before, if you look in Gauteng, many new vehicles bear the new license format and a plastic plate. I think it's also a fashion statement. And that's also a problem at the embosser, because they don't necessarily follow the law if they can make a sale, because the excuses, the guy next to me will do it, because we will make what the client asks instead of following the law. With regard to the proposal for Microdot, I unfortunately don't have a lot of information on that. I've did liaise with DataDot, a company that do supply the microdotting. I'm not sure how it's going to work on number plates. I've seen it on road traffic signs where it's sprayed, you know, where you have a very big surface that you can spray. My concern is on a number plate, which is a very small surface and being attached to a vehicle. I'm not sure what the intention is, how it will be sprayed. And these dots can also be removed. So I think it might be quite easy to wipe a number plate. But this is just my perspective. I'm not an expert on it, so I can't really comment on that. Industry would just welcome any form of protection for the legit embossers and manufacturers out there, and obviously for the consumer, who usually are the ones that get the fines, you know, when a number plate doesn't comply. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rikalo. We will definitely, moving forward, take into consideration your presentation. We can assure you of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Honorable members, I can see Dr. Nkosi is still here with us. And I know he'll be complaining that we did have a bit of time before closure. Dr. Nkosi, we had already agreed with you that you will send a submission, but if you wish and you are burning to respond to the questions, we have a bit of time for you. You can do that so that you don't say we have closed you outside. Thank you, Mayor Zuriga. Doctor? Dr. Nkosi?
Yes, I'm trying to page through my papers here. But I would have been more comfortable to respond.
That's okay. You can let's rather do that. I just wanted to test that with you so that I don't close you outside. Thank you very much, honorable members. Before I thank you for your commitment, can I check our availability earlier on today? I got a message that those that are responsible for our programs, they may allow us to have about two meetings during the constituency period. For as long as those messages, meetings are about the legislation. Let me just hear from members if they are willing and able to take that slot, so that that is not my decision. Honorable Chris Onsinga, followed by Honorable MacDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, unfortunately, I will not be available during the constituency period. I think we've really squashed in a lot of sessions. Normally, we had portfolio committee meeting on Tuesday mornings, and I think we've done well up to this stage, and I will not be able to attend during the constituency period since we are busy with selection panels, having interviews with candidate councillors, which is really hectic since we've had a huge number of applications and we are battling to find time to slot in opportunity for proper interviews. Not to expand on that process through talking from a party political stance, but I'm just trying to express the complication and from that point of view, since it is constituency period, and also because I've really trying my best to accommodate both sides and not to be stubborn, but to accommodate also the important work within our portfolio committee. But sadly, there won't be an opportunity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Baya. Akbare Liede, let us work on Akbare MacDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know, I do disagree with members in this portfolio committee, but I think this we have a very long constituency period, which is 6 weeks, Chairperson, and we have a lot of work. If possible, from my side, personally, and I'm sure from the ANC side, we don't have a problem with slotting in a few meetings, Chairperson. But it's not up to me, Chairperson, it's up to you. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Noli Chungu, thanks. Honorable MacDonald, Honorable Noli Chungu.
Thank you, Chair. We'll also not be available due to work that has already been assigned to us. We have by-elections and we have been assigned to those regions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable member. Baba Uketa Mabala, Wakwa Mondi, Sekona Le, Lady Smith.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I actually okay with other members because we are thin on the ground. So now we have been given some task to perform during the constituency work. So now it will be very difficult, Chairperson. I'm sorry to say that. Thank you very much.
I'm
Thank you, Chairperson. I support Mr. Hunsinger. We want to become a bigger party. We've got a lot of work to do in the next 6 weeks. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you very much. Our Baba Mapena says it totally position Yakova, but Masuguzo.
No, Chair, I just want to say that Honorable Mango must not intimidate Honorable Ketamawa. You must intervene.
Okay, when elderly people are talking amongst themselves, no, I agree with you, Honorable Member. I think, Honorable Members, it is clear we would want to move as a unit, would want to accommodate everybody so that any piece of legislation we want to come up with should not be a legislation which is one-sided in terms of how the parliament is structured and how this committee is structured. Let's respect that the opposition in its entirety will not be here. And therefore, let's go and do our constituency work also on our side. I think we have come to an end of the meeting this evening. And I can see a hand. I hope Honorable Chris Hunsinger has changed his view. Let me understand, why is he raising his hand after the chairperson has spoken? Yes, Honorable Member.
Chairperson, I just want to thank you for the way that you are conducting your chairmanship, and thank you for your great understanding in finding balance between the importance of doing proper work and writing great legislation. Thank you for your indulgence and also for your great attitude. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Let us see each other according to our program next week, Tuesday, from 9 o'clock up until 1:15. And I hope nobody's going to correct me this time around. Otherwise, I want to thank all the members really for the commitment to their work. I really appreciate it. And the way we are working in this committee, I hope we continue cooperating as we are doing. Otherwise, please go home and rest if you are not home. Otherwise, some of us are already home. Thank you very much. Long live everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Long live the chair.
Baba Yabo, long live everybody. Thank you. Long live Valerie.